And now get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Crisco's Vic and Sade. But first, let's go visiting in San Jose, California. It's Mrs. Charlotte Watkins we're visiting in San Jose, and we'll probably find her out in the kitchen mixing up one of her son Richard's favorite layer cakes. She packs a lunchbox for him every day, and you know, lately he's developed a terrific appetite for the cake she bakes. It all started not so long ago when Mrs. Watkins was one of the hundreds of housewives picked at random to help test the new Sure Mix Crisco. One morning her doorbell rang, and there was a lady there who said,
"Would you help me by testing this new kind of shortening I have here? Bake a cake with it, and let me know how it compares with the cakes you usually make."
Now, Mrs. Watkins was perfectly satisfied with her regular shortening. After all, she'd been baking delicious cakes for years. But nevertheless, she agreed to try this new kind. And was she amazed when she started mixing up her cake batter.
Why, that batter was so lovely and smooth, I knew right off my cake would be unusually good. But heavens, I wasn't prepared for the way my son Richard carried on. He claimed that cake tasted better than any I'd ever made before.
And folks, Sure Mix Crisco can make your cakes taste better, too. Why, hundreds of housewives from Delaware to California made this independent test. Cakes made with Crisco were compared to those made with every type of shortening. And when these women asked their families which cakes they liked best, they voted 4-1 for cakes made with Crisco over all the other shortenings combined. You see, because of a special patented process, only Crisco can now offer you 3 exclusive new cake-making advantages. 1, lighter cakes. 2, smoother textured cakes. 3, cakes that taste better than those you can make with any other home shortening we know of. So get Crisco today. And remember, it wasn't only 4-1 for lighter cakes, but 4-1 for flakier pastry. 4-1 for better tasting fried foods. That was the family vote, 4-1 for new Sure Mix Crisco. Well, sir, it's late afternoon as our scene opens now, and here in the living room of the small house halfway up the next block, we find Mr. Victor Gook and young Mr. Rushcook. Vic lounges in his easy chair, staring vacantly at the bookcase, while Rush, on the davenport, reads aloud from a volume of stirring fiction.
Sir Lieutenant Clinton Stanley showed no trace of fear as he watched the slow approach of the counterfeiting South Sea Islanders. Lady Margaret, on the other hand, was frantic with apprehension. "We shall be assassinated, sweetheart," she quavered. "Perhaps so," rejoined the handsome young officer, "but not without a fight. Shall we enjoy a hug and kiss before we are attacked by these rascals?" The beautiful woman gazed down at her fashionable French spats. "As you please," she murmured, and Third Lieutenant Stanley's face glowed ruddily with hungry anticipation. At this moment, the chief of the counterfeit and South Sea Islanders emitted a horrible shriek.
"Well, Miss Holmes."
"Huh? Is she?"
"I heard the back door open."
"Counterfeit and South Sea Islanders, maybe."
"Here it is. Let's invite him to share a hug and a kiss."
"Rush?"
"Hi."
"Your father in there?"
"Not right now, Sadie, but I'm expected any minute. I stepped around the corner to get my shoes half-soled."
Lady Margaret stifled a little scream. "Hurry up with that hug and kiss," snapped her sweetheart, extending his arms and thrusting forward his chin. The beautiful woman...
"Oh, the heck with that. Greetings, Dr. Speech."
"Greetings. How much does harness cost?"
"Harness?"
"Horse harness."
"That is the most peculiar question to hurl at a fellow out of a blue sky."
"Do you know?"
"What horse harness costs?" "Uh-uh."
"You, Rush?"
"It seems to me I did know it one time. I believe I asked Harry Plink down at the lumber company."
"Seen Mr. Gumpox today?"
"No."
"Quite a grand sight."
"Yeah."
"I bumped into him in the alley just now. His horse is all decked out in fancy new harness."
"Indeed."
"Expensive-looking harness. Brass doodads on the bridle and trash. I chatted with Mr. Gumpox a minute and asked him what on earth, and he said the harness was the gift of an anonymous donor." "An anonymous donor."
"Well, don't look at me. I have..."
"You know who I suspect, don't you?"
Jackson L. Cunningham, alias Dave Garraway of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the man with the light gray trousers.
Uncle Fletcher.
Beg pardon?
I suspect Uncle Fletcher. Go so far as to say I know it's Uncle Fletcher. Sounds just like him.
Hmm.
Don't it sound just like him?
Well, I'd say so, Mom. Of all the individuals I'm acquainted with that present the garbage man with fancy horse harness for his horse, Uncle Fletcher...
Bill's the bill, exactly. Here's what Mr. Gumpox told me. He said this enormous package box arrived by express. Inside was the fancy harness. And the only clue to who sent it was a little card that said, from an anonymous donor.
Howard's harness was in tatters.
Sure.
Mr. Gumpox was even using chunks of clothesline to hold it together.
Sure.
And Uncle Fletcher admires Mr. Gumpox.
Uncle Fletcher admires Mr. Gumpox, and Uncle Fletcher's got a heart as big as a tub, and Mr. Gumpox has been just terrible, terrible nice to him since he moved here from Dixon. And I'll just bet anybody 85 cents Uncle Fletcher sent away and bought that expensive harness for Howard.
No, I wouldn't doubt it.
I know it.
You seem upset, kiddo.
Well, I am upset. You should see that harness Howard's got on once. Brass thingamadoodles all the way up and down his back. The do-funny in his mouth is a... what you call a do-funny a horse holds in his mouth?
Yes.
Well, that do-funny looks like silver. And the bridle and the lines and trash are made out of the heaviest, richest, most expensive-looking leather I ever saw in my life. Person would think Howard was a circus horse. Why, I bet several hundred dollars...
You bet the new equipment costs several hundred dollars?
Well, it could, couldn't it?
Possibly. I haven't anything to go by in such a...
Oh, money. You should see it once. Why, maybe $1,000.
Oh, come now, kid. For $1,000, you could buy a harness, horse, wagon, ice cream cone, suit of clothes, tin of coal, dish of asparagus...
Not always, Dove. I've heard of cowboy saddles that cost $5,000. $5,000 for just a saddle.
You have such a saddle upstairs, no doubt.
No, but I've read in magazines.
Yeah, about a fella that put on his hat and then pulled his hat down over his ears. Sure, I read the same magazine. Shucks, kiddo, Uncle Fletcher's about as wise a bird as they come. Oh, he has his eccentricities and all, but when it comes to shrewdness...
Who was going to send us 11 barrels of oysters? Who was going to send us a dozen rails from the Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy Railroad that would have weighed several hundred tons? Uncle Fletcher. That wise old bird. That shrewd fella.
Okay, but in this instance...
In this instance, he bought the garbage man a present that I'll bet you my undershirt cost lots and lots of money.
It's his money.
Mm-hmm. Russia's money in Russia's savings account down at Russia's bank is Russia's money. But do we allow Rush to draw in?
Well, you're talking about Rush now. Uncle Fletcher is a different package of oyster crackers.
Uncle Fletcher is my uncle, and I'm the only relative in this town. He's got to look after him. I feel responsible, Vic. I don't say he's childish and simple in the head and has to have a nurse or anything, but I do say he needs
supervision.
Supervision. That's it, Willie. Supervision. I say he needs supervision.
You think he'd stand for any supervision? I notice when his landlady, Mrs. Keller, tries any high-class supervision, the old boy jumps on her like a load of bricks.
That's true, but...
Uncle Fletcher is gentle and obliging and anxious to please, but if he feels the iron hand in the velvet glove tapping him on the shoulder, he gets up on his hind legs.
That's true, Vic. That's perfectly true, and it's the reason why I'm upset. Like I say, I'm his niece and I feel responsible for his actions. But how can I go about being responsible if he feels like going to work and giving the garbage man a present that costs $69,000? My hands are tied.
Yes, I'm afraid they are.
Must I stand by and watch him do crazy stuff?
I think you exaggerate the crazy stuff he does.
Now, Vic, you should see that new harness of Howard's.
I'd like to.
Howard feel pretty proud in his new outfit, Ma?
Just more than strutting along the alley. Person to take him for a circus horse. Person actually would.
How about Mr. Gumpox? I bet he feels like the dude.
Oh, got his chest puffed out 6 miles.
I bet.
You know that new sign he's got tacked on the side of the garbage wagon?
No riders?
Yeah. Well, he's added to that sign. In little letters up above the big ones, it says... We cordially invite.
We cordially invite?
Uh-huh.
We cordially invite no rider.
Oh, yeah.
We cordially invite no rider.
And the sign is scrubbed and polished till who laid the chunk.
Kiddo, you don't know what Uncle Fletcher can afford and what he can't afford, do you?
I don't know how much money he's got, no.
Well, there you are. Maybe he's rich as my undershirt.
He could be. He's always been awful close-mouthed about his affairs. Beth and I have talked about it many a time. Whether he's real well-fixed or whether he's just got enough to get by on, we haven't the slightest notion.
Okay, fine. I say that if a man could handle his own business without assistance or interference through the years, it shows he's pretty capable in the common sense department.
I say so, too.
I appreciate how you mean.
Of course, you figure as his niece, it's more or less up to you to see that he don't stub his toe or involve himself.
Yeah. Well, all right. We'll say no more about it.
I'm convinced Uncle Fletcher knows what he's doing.
All right. But next time he pulls any fancy stunts like this, I am going to doctor up some scheme to make him behave. You have to trot to the store, Sonny Jim.
Okay. Right now?
Well, I'll hop to the kitchen and fix the list.
Okay.
Come when I holler.
Okay.
What's the sign say on Gumfox's garbage wagon?
We cordially invite no riders.
A puzzling notice to the public.
Yeah.
We cordially invite no riders. I don't think we have to worry about Uncle Fletcher.
No, he can take care of himself.
Mm, sharp as a tack.
Well, I'll say. Want me to read some more Third Lieutenant Stanley?
Uh-uh.
It starts getting exciting.
Don't bother.
They have a big fight.
Read it to me some other day.
The handsome young officer rolled up his sleeves and trouser legs, preparatory to smiting the leader of the counterfeit in the South Sea Islanders. Lady Margaret hovered at a little distance, blubbering softly. "Hey, you, how about that good old hug and kiss?" cried Third Lieutenant Stanley suddenly. And the beautiful woman trotted across the clearing, her china blue eyes aglow.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Crisco's Bick and Sade until tomorrow. Say, if you're having folks in tonight to help watch the old year out, why not bake a sure mixed Crisco cake for a midnight snack, hmm? Remember, cakes can taste better when you use this new Crisco. That's because Sure Mix Crisco is different from other shortenings. Thanks to a patented process, Crisco offers you three exclusive cake-making advantages. Lighter cakes, smoother textured cakes, and better tasting cakes than you can make with any other home shortening we know of. Why, recently, hundreds of housewives tested Crisco in their own kitchens. In this nationwide independent test, cakes made with Crisco were compared to those made with every type of shortening. And when these women asked their families which cakes they preferred, they voted 4-1 for cakes made with Crisco over all the other shortenings combined. And remember, it wasn't only 4-1 for lighter cakes, but 4-1 for flakier pastry, 4-1 for better tasting fried foods. That was the family vote, 4-1 for new Sure Mix Crisco. And don't forget to listen to Crisco's Bick and Save tomorrow. This is Mel Allen speaking.